This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This Course in Miracles can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. When you are fearful, you are non-existent. In truth, this fearful world does not exist at all. Herein lies the peace of God. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life. Now to the practice of the transformation of your mind. This, the workbook of A Course in Miracles. A theoretical foundation, such as was presented in the text, is necessary as a framework to make the exercises that we now intend to begin meaningful. Yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. This workbook, this provision of training that you are undertaking, is divided into two main sections. First, we're going to deal with the undoing of the way that you see now, and second, with the acquisition of true perception. Here is our purpose. The purpose in what we will perform on this video and in this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. Listen, transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. On the other hand, one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishment anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. In this practice that we are about to begin, some of the lessons you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them, and you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. The only thing we ask is that you don't make any exceptions on a moment-by-moment basis as you apply these lessons of this Course in Miracles. Here now begins the mind training. I've got a secret that I'm going to share with you if you promise you won't tell anyone. All right? I discovered it in this little book entitled All About God and How to Find Him. Will you promise you won't tell anyone in the world about that? Huh? Let's pretend it's just a secret that we're going to share together. It's the idea of the lessons that we completed. If you saw the last video, perhaps it was the idea that you're actually the light of the world. And in the privacy of our association with each other, I bet I can get you to admit it. Can you see this? Somewhere within you, you discover happiness in the fantasy of the power of your own mind. Did you know that? Children of God, there's no possibility that you, as a human being, if you've come this far with me, have not fantasized somewhere within your own mind the power of relieving pain and death that you see out in the world. Somehow that you would be given, you might even use the term magical, that you'd be given the magical power to help those that are sick, to go out into the world and show them that deep within you is a fundamental need to serve. It's a fundamental need to give. It's a fundamental need to find peace and joy in a place where there doesn't appear to be any. And you have reached this point with me through the desperation of your inability to find peace within the world. The attention you have now been given is that deep within you, in that shared memory, we call it the Christ, don't we, sometimes, the idea that wholeness, that little child of love, was always inside of you. So this is a secret meeting. Do you promise me you won't show this video to anyone else? Then I'm going to stand with you right here for a moment and tell you that you are the light of the world. And if I can get you to stop trying to figure out how that's true and accept from me within the dream that you have of being locked in this little space and time, you have been searching for the alternative out in the world. I'm within you in your inner sanctum. I'm with you now within that place in your mind where you know the alternative of your true self is available. And it's the one place that you swore never to come to. It's the one place that previously represented to you the fear of a single experience that you could have been separated from eternal life. And you've been protecting yourself in this paranoid place where all of the shadows of death appear to confront you and caused you to defend yourself until suddenly I've appeared within your dream. And I'm saying to you very simply, it's not true. You were reminded by your historic Savior, Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, that this place is over and gone. You have received all the direction that's necessary for you to know that that is true. The grievances that you have held in the particular evidence of your search for justice and your inability to find it finally have caused you to beseech whatever powers there be for an alternative with the admission that it's not contained within this world. So the secret that I have offered you in the certainty of who you really are has been your declaration that the pain and loneliness that you felt in your vengeful idea that somehow you had lost your way has been corrected now by the love that we share. And the last lessons of the 60s are the story that I am telling you in secret. They are lessons 67 that love created you like itself. The secret of love is not found in your examination of your conceptual self, because the self that you hold in your identity is basically a grievance against your inability to discover your purpose for being here. And as long as you held that grievance within your own mind, you were unable to see the secret that I am now offering you. Can you see that with me? We're glad now that you came, and this is the next lesson in the idea of the 60s, that you are the light of the world, and that your happiness that you have discovered is actually a secret. So that when I began this new video, I wanted you to see with me that we share a secret love, and that we don't have to justify it except in the joy and happiness that we feel in the discovery of that secret. And we can walk around here in the world and know that it's true. Let's take a quick look, as long as we're here, at lessons 67, 68, and 69 of this mind training of A Course in Miracles. Watch the secret of salvation with me. Here's a simple lesson, lesson 67. Love created me like itself. If you can remember this, you'll be here just another moment. Today's idea is a complete and accurate statement of what you are. This is why you are the light of the world. This is why God appointed you as the world's Savior. This is why the Son of God looks to you for his salvation. He is saved by what you are. We will make every effort today to reach this truth about you and to realize fully, if only for a moment, that it is true. We will begin by repeating this truth about you and then spend a few minutes adding some thoughts we may have about it. Let's try it together. Holiness created me holy. I must be whole. Kindness created me kind, and I intend to be kind to everything I see. Helpfulness created me helpful. I will help those who need help in this world as I see them. Perfection created me perfect. No matter how I feel about myself, God has created me perfectly. Any attribute which is in accord with God as he defines himself is appropriate for use. We're trying today to undo your definition of God and replace it with his own. We are also trying to emphasize that you are part of his definition of himself. You may find it necessary to repeat the idea for today from time to time to replace distracting thoughts. You may also find that this is not sufficient and that you need to continue adding other thoughts related to the truth about yourself. Yet perhaps you will succeed in going past that, and just for the moment, as you say, love created me like itself, and through an interval of thoughtlessness, you will experience an awareness of a blazing light in which you recognize yourself as love created you. Be confident that you will do much today to bring that awareness nearer, whether you feel you have succeeded or not. It's important to remember that you cannot fail. Try to realize in the shorter practice periods that this is not your tiny solitary voice that tells you this. This is the voice for God reminding you of your Father and of yourself. This is the voice of truth, replacing everything that the ego tells you about yourself with the simple truth about the Son of God. You were created by love like itself. So let's repeat now just for a moment. Love created me like itself. Here's a little problem that many of us have experienced in this mind training. It's lesson 68. Are you ready? Love holds no grievances. You who are created by love like itself can hold no grievances and know yourself. To hold a grievance is to forget who you are. To hold a grievance is to see yourself as a body. To hold a grievance is to let the ego rule your mind and to condemn the body to death. Perhaps you do not yet fully realize just what holding grievances does to your mind. It seems to split you off from your source and make you unlike him. It makes you believe that he is like what you think you have become. Listen, no one can conceive of his creator as unlike himself. Shut off from yourself, which remains aware of its likeness to its creator, yourself seems to sleep, while the part of your mind that weaves illusions in its sleep appears to be awake. Can all this arise from holding grievances? Yes, indeed. For he who holds grievances denies he was created by love, and his creator has become fearful to him in his dream of hate. Who can dream of hatred and not fear God? It is as sure that those who hold grievances will redefine God in their own image as it is certain that God created them like himself and defined them as part of him. It is as sure that those who hold grievances will suffer guilt as it is certain that those who forgive will find peace. It is as sure that those who hold grievances will forget who they are as it is certain that those who forgive will remember. Would you not be willing to relinquish your grievances if you believed all this were so? Perhaps you do not think you can let your grievances go. That, however, is simply a matter of motivation. Listen, today we'll try to find out how you would feel without them. If you succeed even by a little in giving up a grievance, there will never be a problem in motivation ever again. Let's begin today's extended practice by searching your mind for those against who you're holding major grievances. Some of these will be quite easy to find. Then think of the seemingly minor grievances you hold against those you like or even think you love. It will quickly become apparent that there is no one against whom you do not cherish grievances of some sort. You know what this has done to you? It has left you alone in all the universe in your perception of yourself. So you're going to practice now just for a moment as you look around and say, I want to see you as a friend, that I remember you are part of me, and I can come to know myself through recognizing in my love and forgiveness for you who I really am. I've been alone in this universe, and I'm tired of it. I'm going to spend the remainder of this practice period in recognition that I share the peace of God and that I am safe in a world that protects me and loves me and will love me in return. Try to feel safety surrounding you, hovering over you, and holding you up. Try to believe, however briefly, that nothing can harm you in any way. Do you see? You have forgiven, you've let the grievance go, and you're feeling the joy of the certainty that you are whole and perfect as you were created. So remember, as we complete this lesson, love holds no grievances. I would wake to myself by laying all of my grievances aside, and I'm going to awaken in the recognition that this old world of sickness and pain was but a dream in a moment of my separation from eternal life. As our final lesson for this time period, we're going to try lesson 69. It's called My Grievances Hide the Light of the World in Me, and it's a point with about 2 months into the program where you actually are going to realize that we are trying to give you a direct mental, emotional, and physical contact with the reality of the world that's all around you. No one can look upon what your grievances conceal. Because your grievances are hiding the light of the world in you, everyone stands in darkness and you beside him. But as the veil of your grievances is lifted, you are released with him. Share your salvation now with him who stood beside you when you were in hell. He is your brother in the light of the world that saves you both. Listen, today let us make another real attempt to reach the light in you. Before we undertake this in our more extended practice period, let us devote several minutes right now to thinking about what we're trying to do. We are literally attempting to get in touch with the salvation of the world. We're trying to see past the veil of darkness that keeps it concealed. We're trying to let the veil be lifted and to see the tears of God's Son disappear in the sunlight. Let's begin our longer practice periods today with the full realization that this is so, and with real determination to reach what is dearer to us than all else. Salvation is our only need. There is no other purpose here and no other function to fulfill. Learning salvation is our only goal. Let us end the ancient search today by finding the light in us and holding it up for everyone who searches with us to look upon and rejoice. Very quietly now, with your eyes closed, try to let go of all the content that generally occupies your consciousness. Think of your mind as a vast circle surrounded by a layer of heavy, dark clouds. You can see only the clouds because you seem to be standing outside the circle and quite apart from it. From where you stand, you can see no reason to believe there's a brilliant light hidden by the clouds. The clouds seem to be the only reality. They seem to be all there is to see. Therefore, you do not attempt to go through them and pass them, which is the only way in which you would really be convinced of their lack of substance. So today, we're going to attempt to see through these dark clouds. After you have thought about the importance of what you're trying to do for yourself and the world, try to settle down in perfect stillness, remembering only how much you want to reach the light in you today and right now. Determined to go past the clouds, reach out and touch them in your mind. Brush them aside with your hand. Feel them resting on your cheeks and forehead and eyelids as you go through them. Go on. Remember, clouds cannot stop you. If you're doing this exercise properly, you're going to begin to feel a sense of being lifted up and carried ahead. Your little effort and small determination call on the power of the universe to help you, and God himself will raise you from darkness into light. You are in accord with his will. You cannot fail because your will is his. Have confidence in your Father today and be certain that he has heard you and answered you. You may not recognize his answer yet, but you can indeed be sure that it is given you and you will yet receive it. Try, as you attempt to go through the clouds to the light, to hold this confidence in your mind. Try to remember that you are at last joining your will to God's. try to keep the thought clearly in your mind that what you undertake with God must succeed. Then let the power of God work in you and through you, that His will and yours be done. Remind yourself right now and throughout the remainder of this practice period that my grievances hide the light of the world in me. I cannot see what I have hidden, yet I want to let it be revealed to me for my salvation and the salvation of the world. If I hold this grievance, the light of the world will be hidden from me. And now I feel all around me the joy and happiness of sharing with the mind of God my eternal life. What a secret that the dark forms of your mind, the reflections of the pertainment of your objective associations, blocked the light of reality within your own mind. And since you couldn't see, you felt the fear of the grievance that you were unable to figure out who you were. And I've shown you, I hope, because this is the manner in which I came to know it. I've shown you that that love that we share was always deep within you, and that you brought it with you when you came into this dream. And the love that we share right now, in this moment, is what eternal life is. And that you have been bound in the possessive perspective that there were separate minds. And if you'd really look at it with me, what would be more fearful than the idea that there's a mind out there that thinks differently than your mind, okay, that would cause you to deny the idea that we share one single mind, which is the love that we share with God. I'm going to show you real quickly a lesson that we showed in one of the previous videos, but it's so valuable in the idea that our love for each other is shared by a singular self that it's necessary to repeat it. It's lesson 167. And this is just a part of it. It only lasts for about 4 minutes. Will you watch with me? It says, there is one life, and that we share with God. Let's watch it together. There are not different kinds of life, where life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. It is the one condition in which all that God created share. Like all His thoughts, it has no opposite. There is no death, because what God created shares His life. There is no death, because an opposite to God does not exist. There is no death, because the Father and the Son are one. In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. You call it death. Yet we have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It's the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. It's the alarm to which you give response of any kind that is not perfect joy. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, suffering, and pain, even a little sign of weariness, a slight discomfort, or the merest frown, acknowledge what? Death, and thus deny that you live. You think that death is of the body, yet it is but an idea, irrelevant to what is seen as physical. A thought is in the mind. It can be then applied as mind directs it, but its origin is where it must be changed if change occurs. Ideas leave not their source. The emphasis this course has placed on that idea is due to its centrality in our attempts to change your mind about yourself. It's the reason that you can heal. It is the cause of healing. It is why you cannot die. Its truth established you as one with God. We share one life because we have one source. a source from which perfection comes to us, remaining always in the holy minds which he created perfect. As we were, so are we now and will forever be. A sleeping mind must waken as it sees its own perfection mirroring the Lord of life so perfectly it fades into what is reflected there. And now it is no more a mere reflection. It becomes the thing reflected and the light which makes reflection possible. No vision now is needed, for the awakened mind is one that knows its source, itself, and its holiness. So there aren't different kinds of life. There's one life in that we share with God. What an exciting prospect. Is it a secret? Of course it's a secret. Do you know that you can forgive within your own heart and never have to demand outside yourself that you be recognized? Sometimes when you try to practice forgiveness, you have an idea that since the grievance is out there and that it's a guy out there has done something to you, that you're going to have to forgive him. Okay, actually what you've forgotten that he's nothing but an effect or a projection of your own mind, and it will suffice for you if you can practice in the secret of your own domain of objective mind. The forgiveness will allow you to accumulate instances of the joy and happiness of the momentary release of the conflict that previously identified you. Trust me with this, okay? Atonement is the recognition of your own whole self. And in that regard, has nothing to do with the world at all. Your demand that many of you still practice, he has done this to me, I'm going to have to practice forgiving him, are literally not true. How much value you place on the idea of not seeking revenge or practicing within your own mind the forgiveness of an unforgivable act is not what I'm offering you. I'm offering you my certainty that if you forgive, the alternative of eternal life is available to you in the act of itself, not the correspondence that you discover in the result of your forgiveness. Share this with me. If your function is only to forgive, and your function comes from God, a single moment of forgiveness will give you the entirety of a result that no longer exists. That is, the result of your moment of forgiveness cannot be your recognition that you have forgiven, for that would be the retention of the grievance. The result of a moment of forgiveness is the joy and happiness of the freedom that you feel in your release from the defenses of yourself. If we had time, we'd repeat for just a moment lesson 132, which also occurred on an earlier video, that said very simply, I'm going to loose the world from all that I thought it was and experiencing the joy and happiness that goes with that. Now I'm caught up in the idea of doing it. And I may or may not show a portion of it to you. Certainly everything that I have directed you to up until this moment shows you that by binding yourself to your own memory patterns, you are unable to share in that moment of forgiveness the entirety of the solution. We'll take a quick look at just a portion of it. This is lesson 132. I loosed the world from all I thought it was. Watch. What keeps the world in chains but your beliefs? And what can save the world except yourself? Belief is powerful indeed. The thoughts you hold are mighty, and illusions are as strong in their effects as is the truth. A madman thinks the world he sees is real and does not doubt it, nor can he be swayed by questioning his thoughts' effects. It is but when their source is raised to question that the hope of freedom comes to him at last. Yet is salvation easily achieved, for anyone is free to change his mind, and all his thoughts change with it. Now the source of thought has shifted, for to change your mind means you have changed the source of all ideas you think or ever thought or yet will think. You free the past from what you thought before. You free the future from all ancient thoughts of seeking what you do not want to find. The present now remains the only time. Here, in the present, is the world set free. For as you let the past be lifted and release the future from your ancient fears, you find escape and give it to the world. You have enslaved the world with all of your fears, your doubts and your miseries, your pain and tears, and all your sorrows press on it and keep the world a prisoner to your beliefs. Death strikes it everywhere because you hold the bitter thoughts of death within your mind. The world is nothing in itself. Your mind must give it meaning, and what you behold upon it are your wishes, acted out so you can look at them and think them real. Perhaps you think you did not make the world, but came unwillingly to what was made already, hardly waiting for your thoughts to give it meaning. Yet in truth, you found exactly what you looked for when you came. There is no world apart from what you wish, and herein lies your ultimate release. Change but your mind on what you want to see, and all the world must change accordingly. Ideas leave not their source. This central theme is often stated in the text of our miracle teaching and must be borne in mind if you would understand the lesson for today. It is not pride which tells you that you make the world you see and that it changes as you change your mind, but it is pride that argues you have come into a world quite separate from yourself, impervious to what you think, and quite apart from what you chance to think it is. There is no world. This is a central thought the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it, and each one must go as far as he can let himself be led along the road to truth. He will return and go still further, or perhaps step back a while and then return again. But healing is the gift of those who are prepared to learn there is no world and can accept the lesson now. Their readiness will bring the lesson to them in some form which they can understand and recognize. Some see it suddenly on point of death and rise to teach it. Others find it an experience that is not of this world, which shows them that the world does not exist because what they behold must be the truth, and yet it clearly contradicts the world. And some will find it with this Course and in the exercises that we do today. Today's idea is true because the world does not exist. And if it is indeed your imagining, then you can loose it from all things you ever thought it was by merely changing all the thoughts that gave it their appearance. The sick are healed as you let go all thoughts of sickness, and the dead arise when you let thoughts of life replace all thoughts you ever held of death. A lesson earlier repeated once must now be stressed again, for it contains the firm foundation for today's idea. Listen, you are as God created you. There is no place where you can suffer, and no time that can bring change to your eternal state. How can a world of time and place exist if you remain as God created you? What is the lesson for today except another way of saying that to know yourself is the salvation of the world? To free the world from every kind of pain is but to change your mind about yourself. There is no world apart from your ideas, because ideas leave not their source, and you maintain the world within your mind in thought. Yet, if you are as God created you, you cannot think apart from Him, nor make what does not share His timelessness and love. Are these inherent in the world you see? Does it create like Him? Unless it does, it is not real and cannot be at all. If you are real, the world you see is false, for God's creation is unlike the world in every way. And as it was His thought by which you were created, so it is your thoughts which make it and must set it free, that you may know the thoughts you share with God. Release the world. Your real creations wait for this release to give you fatherhood, not of illusions, but as God in truth. God shares His fatherhood with you, who are His son, for He makes no distinction in what is Himself and what is still Himself. What He creates is not apart from Him, and nowhere does the Father end, the Son begin, as something separate from Him. There is no world, because it is a thought apart from God and made to separate the Father and the Son and break away a part of God Himself and thus destroy His wholeness. Can a world which comes from this idea be real? Can it be anywhere? Deny illusions, but accept the truth. Deny you are a shadow briefly laid upon a dying world. Release your mind, and you will look upon a world released. Today, our purpose is to free the world from all the idle thoughts we ever held about it and about all living things we see upon it. They cannot be there or anywhere. No more can we, for we are in the home our Father set for us along with them, and we who are as He created us would loose the world this day from every one of our illusions, that we may be free. I, who remain as God created me, would loose the world from all I thought it was, for I am real because the world is not, and I would know my own reality. You need not realize that healing comes to many brothers far across the world, as well as to the ones you see nearby, as you send out these thoughts to bless the world. But you will sense your own release, although you may not fully understand as yet that you could never be released alone. Throughout the day, increase the freedom sent through your ideas to all the world, and say, whenever you are tempted to deny the power of your simple change of mind, I loose the world from all I thought it was, and choose my own reality instead. So now you're free. You're no longer possessed by the need to die. Remember when you were young and you asked the purpose for this world? Everybody told you here that it was necessary for you to come here and to grow up and mature within a body and to defend your existence and to share the occupations of your need to be here and to what? To die. And I am showing you the new joy that you now find, all right, in the release of the defense of your identity, loosing the world from all that you thought it was, shows you a new reflection of the truth of who you really are. How many times in that lesson does it say, there is no world? How many times do these lessons in this mind training remind you that there is no world? how many times would I sit here as what you term an advanced teacher and tell you that I have discovered through my own illumination shared by you that there is no world and that we're actually back in heaven together? That's what these lessons of the 60s have brought about in you. And the practice, okay, of the expressions of the you, of the new you that you have discovered, are indeed a secret from the world. We used to call it the ancient secret, the ancient wisdom. Where is it? Right here. It's always available, but only in the entirety. Your attempts to define wisdom or wholeness within your own mind have what abound you. Nothing could be simpler than this teaching if it shows you that at no single time does this world exist. That's the discovery that you've made in this training. That's the discovery that we're sharing right now, isn't it? We admit that the grievances have kept us from seeing it. We admit that in the release of the grievance, the revengeful nature of ourselves, we feel very simply the joy of heaven. And that's what we're sharing together. So our progress has become very rapid. And each moment now within this idea of sequential time is available to us the entirety of the solution. I'm glad you're here to share this secret with me. You can watch this, practice this, mind training anywhere that you go out in the world. If some of you have found that reports are coming in by the thousands up to millions, suddenly they see the possibility of the conversion of the human being, the conversion of the conceptual mind to the realization of a single source of reality. And it is done in secret, and it's done in the secret of your heart. And it includes your mind. And in your mind is the reasonable passion of creative capacity. I didn't want that to get by you. What I am offering you is the power of mind to express who you really are. Heretofore in time, you have used the pitiful power of your mind to express the little limitations of self-identity that this world has imposed on you. Lesson 132 showed you that by loosing your defenses, loosing the world from what you thought it was, the world brings you a new correspondence of who you really are. That's what we're sharing now. And we're going to move on, and we'll be showing you the Heavenly 70s as one of these other videos. And you're going to be leaving here in just a moment, because you did leave here in just a moment. The time will come indeed when you won't remember this at all. And that's okay, because my responsibility was to show you that you were dreaming. My responsibility that I assumed and am sharing with you was to show you that this was a dream of death, that the resurrection, that the return of yourself to reality has already occurred. And is occurring here and now. And that discovery is what's giving you the happiness and joy that we're now sharing. Yeah, it is a secret. Many of you are beginning to meet each other on the street, and it's an incredible discovery that minds communicate. It's important for you to remember that when you were contained within yourself, you were sharing images of your own projection that were actually totally non-communicative. The release of that defense will suddenly show you whole new fields of light energy where you begin to recognize each other. And so many calls coming in, people meeting each other without the need to defend their separation. This can very well involve holy relationships, as expressed in the Course, that will be formed first on the basis of the realization of alternative, then on the recognition of individual responsibility for an alternative of leaving this place of pain and death that can be shared with each other. That's what I'm sharing with you right now. I'm showing you that all of the memories of yourself can be converted in an instant in the recognition that we share this love of God with each other. Thanks for joining me once again. I may be seeing you sooner than you think. Okay? Remember that in the giving up of that need to defend yourself, you have found the entirety of the solution. God goes with us wherever we go. God is the mind with which we think. God is the love that we share. And all about God and how to find Him is available to us right here and right now. God bless us, everyone.